Combination of those songs and that scripture reading, lesson's about over. Appreciate so much all of you being here tonight. Give us another opportunity to study together from God's inspired word. We've just been reading from the second chapter of Romans, and we've read down through verse 16, but I'd like to invite you now to open your Bibles to Acts 17, if I may please. Acts 17, verses 30 and 31. Paul, of course, is addressing the people on Mars Hill, and he says, "Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. And he has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead." There is no truth more clearly taught in the pages of inspiration, no fact more firmly established, and no warning more emphatic than the truth of these texts concerning the great day of judgment. The words of Acts 17:30 were spoken by the great apostle to one of the most distinguished audiences that ever listened to a sermon in his day. It was an audience composed entirely of leading philosophers of the day, and they were assembled in the greatest center of culture of that time, one of the most celebrated centers of the philosophic thought of any day, which was, of course, the Areopagus in Athens. Now, speaking to this exceptionally intelligent audience, the great apostle Paul declared that there is to be a final day of judgment, and it will come for every member of the human race. Nobody will be exempted. Now, with these thoughts in our minds, we have need to be concerned about the righteous judgment of God. We can know that the day of judgment, although unknown to us as far as a date goes, that it is a day that is certain. It is an appointment which God has made. Now, there are two events in the future, and they are absolutely certain: death and judgment. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says that as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. Now, that's all we want out of that, but that says a lot. Every person is appointed to die once, and after this, the judgment. Many of the inspired writers of the Bible have testified concerning the judgment. For instance, the testimony of Solomon. If you look in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, that's Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. Now listen to it. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. The testimony of Solomon to a day of judgment. Well, we of course have the testimony of Jesus in Matthew 11. Verse 20 through 24, Matthew 11, verses 20 through 24, he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. Woe unto you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which are done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which are done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. Wow, that's pretty strong. Again, in Matthew chapter 25, Matthew chapter 12, we've got to get that in first. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 and 37, Jesus says that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. This ought to give us all some serious pause, because we sometimes utter words out of our mouth that shouldn't come. But by your words you will be condemned, and by your words you will be justified. Now, on to Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. Notice this now. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, he will sit on the throne of his glory, and all nations shall be gathered before him. He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. Set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. And the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or you thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Jesus had more to say about this subject just about than anybody. But Paul, you know, he talked about it as well. The testimony of Paul over in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things in the body according to what he's done, whether good or bad. And we've already read in Acts 17, verse 30 and 31, he's appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness. But, you know, another testimony we have to look at is that of Peter. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, and if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Look also down at 1 Peter 4, verses 17 and 18. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and sinner appear? Wow. And just one more from Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Wow. But we also have testimony from John. John says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. How about that? But we forget, the penman of the book of Revelation was a fellow named John. And in Revelation 20, verses 12 through 14, John says, I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things that were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged each one according to his works. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. But you know, we look at this and we think, wow, this is staggering. But we got some good news to share with you. We know the judge. We know the judge. And we know that the judge will be God. Look at Romans chapter 2 and verse 16. In the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. God's going to have a part in this. And we know that God is no respecter of persons. We heard it in our scripture reading, Romans 2, verse 11. And we know that God is long-suffering, 2 Peter 3, verse 9. God is not slack concerning his promises, some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now we also realize that we shall be judged through Jesus Christ. Notice in Romans 2:16, the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. And then, of course, in Acts 17, and verse 31, remember, by the man whom he has ordained and he has given assurance of it by raising him from the dead. We know who that is. In John chapter 5, verse 22, for the Father judges no one, but he's committed all judgment to the Son. God has given the judgment over to Jesus. Well, what do we read from there? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. We all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, whatever according to what we've done, whether good or bad. And then, I got one more here. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. I believe that this is more than sufficient ground for us to believe that there will indeed be a judgment to come. But we also have a heads up here in that we know the standard will be the gospel. Look at Romans 2:16 again. In the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, what now? According to my gospel. In John 12 and verse 48, Jesus said, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. What? The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. The Bible has been given to us as a divine guide. In John 16, 13, notice, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, this is Jesus speaking, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. The Holy Spirit makes known to us the mind of God. How do I know that? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with verse 10, Paul says that God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We have the mind of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, Paul wrote that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. Notice that. May be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's word is revealed and it is complete. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, Peter wrote that God's divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Notice, not some things or a few things, but all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. There again, referring to Jesus Christ. The words of the gospel will, in fact, convict the sinner. In John chapter 16, beginning with verse 1, John 16, verse 1, John says, these things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble, that they will put you out of the synagogues. This is Jesus speaking and John writing. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offered God service. That's encouraging, isn't it? And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, that you remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. But now I go away to him who sent me. And none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things, none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things, you sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he's come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Who was he talking about? He's talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit revealed the Word. And it's the Word that convicts the souls of men. Notice the condemnation, though, of those who do not obey the gospel. In 2 Thessalonians 1:7 through 9, to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire. Now listen, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You don't find many people preaching about obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. They talk about a lot of other things, but not obeying the gospel. But this is what the inspired apostle says. Now, who's going to be punished? Those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. That's pretty straightforward. And in Romans chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, notice, to those who are self-seeking and who do not obey the truth, uh-oh, there's that obey again. But obey unrighteousness, that's wrong. Here's what's going to be for them. Indignation, wrath, tribulation, anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. Now, we know that judgment is going to be universal. It'll be judgment of the world. That in Acts 17:30, we found out that he will judge the world in righteousness. And the universality of it is also seen in Matthew chapter 25. When the Son of Man comes in glory, the holy angels with him, he sits on the throne of his glory. And what? All nations shall be gathered before him. All nations. But notice, it will also be individual. Look at Romans 2, verse 6. Who will render to each one according to his deeds. And Romans 14, verse 12. So then each one of us shall give an account of himself to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 8 it is. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10, we've all visited that enough times here, but let's home in on this. Each one may receive the things done in the body, whether good or bad. Now, what about the basis of judgment? Well, to put it quite simply, the basis of judgment is our deeds. That's 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. Or our words, Matthew 12, 13. But I say unto you that every idle word that men may speak, they give an account of in the judgment. Or even the secret things. Yeah. Even the secret things will be judged. And then, God's going to render to each one according to his what? Deeds. Now, let's look at the issues decided at judgment. Well, there are only two alternatives at judgment. Two alternatives. We will be found righteous or unrighteous. The righteous, we read about in Romans 2:7, will go into eternal life because through their lives they have sought for by patience and continuance, doing good and seeking for glory and honor and immortality. The unrighteous, those who are self-seeking and obey not the truth, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man, but honor and peace to everyone who works what is good, Jew first, and also to the Greek. And you know, there's something that needs to be understood about this. The sentence of this judgment will be final. And it will be unchangeable. There will be no possibility of appealing to a higher court because this is the highest court ever known. There will be no termination of a sentence. It will be for eternity. Indeed, this will be a great day that we're talking about. Think about it with me for a moment. The Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. When Jesus ascended up in front of the disciples, the angels stood by and they said, "What's wrong with you? What are you standing here gazing up into heaven for? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in like manner as you saw him go." Or as Paul put it in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, "The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God." And then the dead will be raised and the living will be changed. In 1 Corinthians 15:52, Paul says, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." That is, we who are alive. Jesus himself spoke of this day, and he said, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." But then we see books shall be opened. In Revelation 20, we notice there that the dead, the small and the great, were all standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book is opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which are written in the books. Before the great judge now, we have all the nations and the books are opened. Well, what's going to happen? Well, Matthew 25, verse 32 says, "All nations will be gathered, and he will separate them one from another as a sheep or as the shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And there's one thing we can be sure of. You and I will be there. There's no doubt about it. Revelation, 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 just states it. We must all appear. Period. That's it. That's it. All of us. But there's some other things I want us to note. When that day comes, the people of Sodom and Gomorrah are going to be there too. Yeah, that's right. Jesus said it back in Matthew 10 and verse 15. Assuredly I say thee, will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And we're going to find out that the people of Nineveh are going to be there too. Matthew 12:41. The men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment against this generation. And, oh, by the way, another mention of our reading. The Queen of Sheba is going to be there too. Yeah. She'll be in judgment. And she will stand up against the generation that wouldn't come out to find the wisdom that was available. All those of all nations, of all times, will be there standing before the great judge. And the judge will separate them from one another. Now, this line of separation is likened to the separating the chaff from the wheat, the goats from the sheep, and the unrighteous from the righteous. And sad to say that this line will separate husbands from wives, parents from children, and friends from friends. Then the great judge will welcome the righteous into heaven. Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But he shall also condemn the wicked to everlasting punishment. He will say to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, what do we need to do in view of this? Well, we need to make ready for the coming judgment by obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ, who will be the great judge in that great day. And having been obedient to the gospel, we must live faithfully to his every command. 2 we read in 2 Peter 1, verse 11, so an entrance may be supplied to you abundantly to the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what we all desire. That's what we all desire. But we can see that it's not a slam dunk. Just because you've begun this road doesn't mean you got it made. You've got to remain faithful to him. Serve him all of your life. But look what you gain. An old fellow, he's passed on now, but a fellow that I used to work with, he says, if you miss heaven, you miss it all. And he's right. If you miss heaven, you miss it all. So, what if you have a little inconvenience for a few years in this life? What is it in the scheme of things? We don't dare take a chance. If we can be assistants to you tonight in your obedience to the gospel, or be an assistance to you in praying for you as you repent, ask your Father to forgive you, we certainly would be happy to do so if you would only come while we stand and while we sing.
Someday you'll stand at the bar.